Hello, everyone, and welcome to Joy Boost. We are happy you are joining us today. Penny, how you doing?
I am doing so great today and so excited to have our guests here today.
How about you introduce our guest?
I will. Our guest is Pastor Tim Yankee. He is the pastor at First Baptist Church in Shelbyville.
Pastor Yankee, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here.
Enjoying your summer so far?
Yes, I am. I really am.
Good, good. Hey, today's topic, we're doing a true shepherd's heart. Penny, how about you share our quote of the day for us today?
Okay, our quote for the day is, a good shepherd is not afraid of the storm for himself, but for the flock. Mm. What do you think that means, Caleb?
We share that on air, you don't even know what it means, Penny. I like that quote because it really focuses on the servant's heart of the shepherd. He's not concerned about his own needs, but for the needs of the flock. And honestly, I've had sheep before, and they are stupid as a box of rocks. And sometimes you just don't want to care about them. But I love that the focus is on the sheep, and the shepherds wanted to focus on that. And that actually goes right along with our verse as well, which is John 10:15. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And that's Jesus speaking. I'm going to read that one more time. John 10:15. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
Boy, and a great shepherd does that. They do that for their flock. Mm. It doesn't matter if their flock is their flock either, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. It could be from other flocks as well. But a shepherd's heart, like you said earlier, Caleb, has a servant's heart. And knowing Tim, I've known Tim now for the past, probably year and a half. And he definitely has a true shepherd's heart. Well, Tim, why don't we start out today? Just let us know what's going on at First Baptist. Any exciting things going on?
Good. We are actually meeting back inside. From Easter to the end of May, we did drive-in service. And we had a hay wagon, and we had a sound system. And we had our service. We continued to have our service. So and just now, this will be our third week that we're back inside, and we're trying to keep it similar to what we were doing outside. We're kind of trying to gradually work back into some semblance of normalcy. Mm-hmm. As of right now, we still aren't having any Sunday school or nursery or anything to do with the children's ministry, but we have some ladies in our church that have put together activity bags. And so when the kids come to church, they have things in that bag that will keep them preoccupied. We've got, they get a snack, they get their Sunday school paper.
Wonderful.
There's some stickers, a coloring sheet that will keep them busy during the service. We have an offering box as people want to give. They're able to do that. And in fact, our first Sunday back, we were able to actually do communion. And we had prepackaged communion. And so it's been good. It's been good to be back inside. I've missed that. And like I said, we're just kind of taking one week at a time, but it's been well.
COVID's not stopping First Baptist Church of Shelbyville.
No, we're trying to keep moving forward.
Praise God. That's right. Well, I can attest to that because at home these past several weeks, we would watch online our church service. And then my family would load up and come into your church service, drive in. And it was wonderful. I mean, even, you know, you don't know everybody that's there, and everybody is in, they were in their cars, but you're pulling up next to people. There's still that feeling of togetherness. You're fellowshipping together. You're worshiping together. And Tim, I thought you did a beautiful job. I really did. And the funny thing about what I really enjoyed too was we would drive up and park. And then it was to wonder, we would wonder how many neighbors are going to pull their lawn chairs out, because you would have neighbors pulling their lawn chairs out so they could listen to you preach.
I think the one Sunday we had 8 or 9 back there, and I was, the one thing that was unique, the one day it was really cold, it was windy, mm-hmm. and we called them our neighborhood church. And they were back there in their lawn chairs with sleeping bags and blankets. So I told everybody, I said, in your cars, I said, I want all of you to look back there and look at our neighborhood and notice they're in sleeping bags and blankets. And I said, and when we get back inside, I don't want anybody to complain about how cold or hot it is. So it was, and I tried to, you know, every week they were there every Sunday, whether it was two or three or four, there was always somebody back there. And I always felt the need to make sure and recognize them because it meant a lot that they were there.
And you did. You did recognize. You had also a baptism one Sunday, which I thought was fabulous.
We did. We had a young man in our church who wanted to be baptized. We had talked back in February. Well, then COVID hit, and it was like, okay, now what are we going to do? So we got to talking about it, and I said, well, you know, we could get like a water trough at Tractor Supply. So we did, and he was like, yeah, this is great. And so we did that, and it was interesting that Sunday that every Sunday, by the way, that we had drive-in service except for one, it was forecasted to rain every Sunday. And every Sunday, it wouldn't rain. In fact, the day of the baptism, his dad was watching the radar when our service started, and you could see on the radar that the system split and went around Shelbyville. And so we did the baptism. And it was really kind of cool.
Wow,
it really
that was.
And you used a horse trough or a
yeah, it's kind of a watering trough like thing. And we put, you know, we tried to get as warm water as we could in there. And it worked well. It's the first time I've ever done a baptism where I didn't get wet. So, but it went well.
That's the really Southern did. Illinois way to do a baptism.
There we go. I think I've heard that.
Well, Tim, what do you feel was the biggest accomplishment from the drive-in services? And to speaking of, I don't think anybody else in the Shelbyville area, they were doing any kind of a drive-in service.
I'm not sure, but I think for us, we were still able to get the gospel out. We were still able to meet. Even though we weren't meeting inside, we were still meeting. And it gave us an opportunity to be an encouragement to the church, because I know people were missing being together. We were able to be an encouragement and even an outreach to our neighbors, because even though we had those that were on their lawn chairs, I know that people that were surrounding the church could hear what we were doing.
Right.
And so, and we were able to continue to meet safely. We followed the guidelines, and our attendance, it increased almost every week. In fact, I think our highest Sunday, we had 68 cars.
And you don't know how many people, like our car, we had four people
right.
in the car.
Some cars had two, some, there were some that had one, some had four, some had five. So I really don't know. We had several guys in our church that were helping, and they would go around and try to get a rough count, and so there might be sometimes 140 maybe.
Wow.
I don't know. They were, it was wonderful. It
really
was.
I know that we were super encouraged every Sunday that we went and left after you preached. After we left, we were encouraged.
Well,
but,
thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a quick question. This isn't on the list, but I wanted to ask this. What would you say to another pastor that may be struggling on when, because of COVID, when to get people back into the church or how to get people involved during this COVID time? Maybe they're even in the St. Louis area or something like that, where it's more urban and not rural like we are. What would you say to them?
It's, you know, when this all started, I told the church, I told my wife, I said, we're just going to take 1 week at a time. We're going to see what each week brings. And every week, it seems like things change quickly. Yeah. And so I figured, to me, one of my main concerns was obviously the health of the folks at First Baptist. So we did the 2 weeks of the online stuff where I record. And when I went to college, my audio visuals was a overhead projector. So for me to sit in front of a computer.
Wait, they had electricity?
Yes, they did.
Oh, okay,
yes,
wow.
They did, believe it or not.
That surprises me.
So I remember the first couple of times I'd try to record a message, and I mean, it took me 8 or 9 times. I'd start and stop, start and stop.
That's how I feel about Joy Booth sometimes. Oh, it takes a few times to do it.
Yeah. So finally, Easter was approaching, and I felt like we need to be together as a church. So there was a lot of prayer. I sought counsel from other guys, you know, what were they doing. I did not want to lose the testimony of the church. But at the same time, I felt the need to be together. And I would say to some churches that may be struggling, you know, really sit down with your board, your elders or whatever, and discuss. Find out what the best plan of action. Every church is different. There's not one plan fits all, because there are some that are in urban areas, some that are not. You have to respect that. But I think it's important to obviously sit down with your leadership and come up with a plan of attack that will keep your folks safe, but also maintain your testimony in the community.
Well, everyone, I hope you are enjoying our interview with Pastor Yankee from the First Baptist Church in Shelbyville. We are out of time, but we hope you join us next week as Pastor Yankee continues to share with us and we continue to talk about a true shepherd's heart. See you next week. Let him move. Let him move.